let me tell you what's going on with the show today. We got three or more stories from the NRA's American Riflemen's, the Armed Citizens column. So I want you to listen and learn what to do and what not to do in real life scenarios. Very informative and entertaining. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're streaming live too. So if you go to Aaron'sGunShop.com, go to the Facebook page, you get to see this ugly mug. Hey, hello, I'm saying hi to you. You can check us out. We'll have all our special guests on too. You get to see them as well. But there's a lot of stuff going on here at the gun show. Now, today's license to carry segment combined with our attorney law segment, we'll go over contact with law enforcement, requirement to display license, authority of a peace officer to disarm, officer responding to a crisis, and license to carry responding to a crisis, which is all going to lead us to the pros and cons of wearing a concealed carry badge when carrying a weapon on your person. Now, we're going to have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson with us to go over all those points. And as always, everybody enjoys Ross here, and we've got a fan club going for you, Ross. I think the ladies are screaming outside the door. They can't wait to get your autograph. So we'll try to fight him back a little bit. Okay. And at 11, once again, our very own voice of law enforcement, Officer Randy Dixon, a connoisseur of common sense, the pontificator of practicality and all-around good guy, Officer Randy Dixon. So check him out at 11 o'clock. Today's product spotlight will be the incredibly awesome Kel-Tec PMR-30 22 Mag semi-automatic pistol. This segment is sponsored by ANC Firearms in Hide and Hammer. So give them a call at 254-983-4417 to put your Kel-Tec PMR-30 on hold. Now, there's a lot going on today, so get your note-taking materials ready, strap yourselves in, and we're going to start the show officially now with our license to carry segment. I'm going to go over the points that we're going to be talking with Ross about. So I'm going to kind of combine the two. And actually, I take that back. We're going to do NRA first, then we'll do Ross. So let me read to you three stories from the NRA. You know, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. When you do a live broadcast, live remote, you're always going to have hiccups. Well, you just heard the hiccups in the beginning. Notes are all over the place to make sure we do it smoothly. And sometimes those notes make it not get so smooth. So you just got to bear with me. And plus, you're dealing with me. Look at me. Look at me. See? How do you deal with something like that? All right. We're going to go from June 2017, the Armed Citizen, story number one. And I will give you my expert commentary. While it's not a situation you'd ever hope to be in, a recent case shows that being armed with a handgun can be enough to get the better of a troublemaker who is armed with an AK-47. A Jacksonville, Florida resident heard gunshots and screaming one day and went outside with a handgun tucked inside his belt. The armed suspect was waving his rifle around and had tried to shoot a neighborhood dog that was near some people. As the stranger started walking toward the neighbors, the armed citizen shouted out that he would not abide violent crime in the neighborhood and told the hoodlum to leave. Instead, the outsider turned his rifle on the armed citizen, who fired his handgun, scaring off the bad guy. Now, my commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, this story is a mess. You could go a bunch of ways to review it based on how the author wrote it. But let's just say for learning purposes that the dog wasn't trying to harm anyone, or that the man with the AK wasn't trying to protect the people near the dog, and that the man with the AK didn't feel threatened by the person with the handgun tucked in his belt. That would leave us with a man with the AK to be a crazy. If that's the case, then the resident fired in his direction, missed, and who knows where the bullet went. So ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to shoot, hit the target. And what I'm trying to say about that story is, depending on how you read it, it can go on either way. The guy with the AK was thinking that people were in danger because of this dog, or the bad guy was just shooting at a dog and the guy comes out to try to save the day. Either way, it's a crazy story, and if you're going to shoot, where'd that bullet go? So make sure you know what you're shooting at, what your backstop is, so on and so forth. Story number two. A son saved his mother's life after receiving a panic phone call late one evening. In Sydney, Maine, a man knocked on an 84-year-old woman's door asking to use her phone. When she refused his request, the man started to bang on the front door. He climbed a snowbank and broke a bay window at the front of the house. It was then that the woman called her son, who grabbed his Ruger and drove over, unsure whether he would find his mother alive. Coming in through the garage entrance, the armed citizen announced his presence, yelling, "I have a gun. Get out of the house." The intruder attacked the woman's son, who shot the assailant in the chest and held him at gunpoint until the police arrived. The attacker was then taken to the hospital and was to be arrested and charged after treatment. My commentary. Ugh, ugh, ugh. This drives me absolutely crazy. Never, ever give your position away. Keep the element of surprise. The intruder attacked the son because he knew where the son was after screaming out, hey, I'm in the house and I got a gun. Now, let me make a comment about this. I have, in time, walked in to a house where somebody goes, hey, is that you? Meaning they had no clue as to walk in the door. What you should do is, if you're washing dishes, we'll say, and you're totally unaware of who's walking through the door, is maybe check it out before you give your position away. Because what if that person isn't me? What if that person is an intruder? You just told them where you're at and gave away your position. So it's always better to not give away your position. Story number three. After a father and son saw a man pull a knife and threaten a woman during an attempted robbery, both drew their concealed handguns and put a quick end to the misdeed. The two armed citizens in Tyler, Texas, had been driving through a shopping center parking lot when they witnessed the trouble. With the two guns aimed at him, the would-be robber gave up and got down on the ground. The armed citizens held him at gunpoint until the police arrived. My commentary. Awesome. Right on. God bless Texas. Keep the libs out, Texas, Texas. Woo-hoo. That's my commentary on that. That was June 17th of the American Rifleman. Check it out. If you're not a member, you should become one. Now, I'm going to read to you really quickly the points that we're going to talk over in our License to Carry segment, and then we're going to take a break. Trey, if you listen, we'll take a break after this, a long one, and we'll come back and talk to Benton Ross Watson, and we'll go over all these points. But in the License to Carry here, once again, I'm going to take this time to set up for our lawyer attorney segment. I'm going to read you these points, and it's going to go over the authority of a police officer to ask for identification, to disarm you, what you do in a crisis situation, what do they do in a crisis situation, and so on and so forth. So let me just read you the titles here. This is contact with law enforcement. Understand the requirements to display the license to carry. Understand how a law enforcement officer reacts in crisis situations to a person displaying a firearm. Understand how officers will routinely respond to a person carrying a handgun with a license to carry. Then we'll talk about government code 411-205, requirement to display license. Because if you're carrying a handgun with a license to carry and a magistrate or a peace officer demands that you display identification, you shall display your driver's license or identification certificate and your license to carry. Now, you're not required to do that if you don't have the license on you, but it's a good idea if you do it. Then, government code 411-207, authority of a peace officer to disarm. Peace officers may temporarily disarm you at any time they reasonably believe it is necessary for the protection of the license holder, the officer, or any other individual. They shall return your handgun before discharging you from the scene, unless they arrest you and seize your gun and license, or they determine you're a threat to any person. Excuse me. Then we'll talk about officers responding to a crisis. Police officers have a duty. Listen up, this is important because this is going to follow up. This is going to be the precursor to the license to carry badge segment. Officer responding to a crisis. Police officers have a duty to take control of the scene, have the duty to take control of the scene and situation for their safety and the safety of everyone involved, and may disarm participants, including licensed to carry personnel, take offenders into custody, preserve evidence, and officers arriving at the scene may have limited information, and information they have may be incorrect, so they don't know if you're a good guy or not. Now, the licensed to carry person in a crisis, listen up. A handgun licensee is not a law enforcement officer and has no duty to take control of the scene. As a license to carry, you may, but are not required to, protect yourself and other innocents. You could avoid escalating the situation by using nonviolent conflict resolution, which we teach in our classes, waiting the situation out, retreating, letting offenders leave, follow the response of the officer's direction. So we've got a lot to talk about. What that's going to do is lead us up to the pros and cons of wearing a license to carry badge. So what we're going to do, Trey, I'm losing my voice here for some reason. Trey, we're going to take a long break, and when we come back, we're going to have attorney Benton Ross Watson on with us to go over all these points. And take your notes, because it's going to be very important. A lot of good information to go out there. So, Trey, let's take a break. See you on the other side. But Ross, you heard the buildup of all these different things we want to talk about. And I know you always do your homework. You want to start off with anything in particular, like You want to go in order here? Because what I want to do is finally like, end up with the LTC in crisis and how the license to carry badge comes into effect. But I'd like to go over all these other points, too.
So I think that you had mentioned you wanted to go over the license to carry badge. I think that's a good starting point. And you said there are proponents and opponents of the license to carry badge, meaning if you have a license to carry a firearm, you're able to acquire a license, a badge, to that effect, showing that you have a license to carry. And I could see, I guess, that some people would oppose that because they're saying you could are trying to impersonate a police officer or trying to convey some sort of type of authority that you really don't have any different from anyone else. But I don't know that, I don't really know what you could get away with that somebody couldn't do if they really wanted to anyway. So, in other words, there are laws out there that prevent you from impersonating a police officer, and if you were doing that, then there would be a way to enforce it. And then
let's talk about that a little bit. I need some sound on my, I need some sound up here. Okay. Let me set you up a little bit here. If you've got your license to carry badge, what would be a license to carry person cannot take control of the situation. Where I was just reading here. Contact with law enforcement, or I'm sorry, officer responding to a crisis has the duty to take control, whereas a license to carry person does not have the duty to take control. And people give the argument, well, if you got this badge on, people may think you're an officer, and that could cause potential problems. So let's talk about the separation between the law enforcement officer, the license to carry person, what the responsibilities are, and then how the license to carry badge can come into effect for benefits for the person carrying it and the officer coming on the scene.
Rick Dodd could really go into some of the duties that people have as normal citizens and what duties they don't have. And so, but normally, people are not going to have a duty to protect other people or a duty to do anything to come to other people's aid in certain situations. Like if you see a crime going on and somebody's getting killed, you really don't have a duty to stop it. You can just sit there and watch them die.
Okay, let me follow up with something, though. I'm the type of guy, when I come up to a situation, if I'm going to get involved, I'm taking control. You go over there. You call 911. You stay there. Bad guy down. I took control of the situation. I'm not only defensive of a third person, but I'm sealing the hatches, battening down the hatches. I'm sealing it up, making sure everything's under my control because I just took control because I just pointed a gun at somebody. Doesn't that come into play as a favorable thing for why potentially saying, hey, you look like you were an officer because I had my concealed carry badge out?
So I was getting there. So you, once you start to rescue somebody, okay, you have to follow through with it, especially in situations where, let's say there was two people and there was a person drowning out in the ocean. And you say, oh, I got him. I'm going to go get him. So the other person then turns around and is like, well, I'm going to go get help for when you get back. Okay, if you decide not to follow through with that, then that person who died maybe by drowning could turn around and sue you if they could have proved that other person would have gone to get the drowning guy if you wouldn't have acted first. And so if I guess somebody could try to make an argument that the badge, right, prevented other people from taking action that would have acted
because they thought
you as a police officer were supposed to act in the situation. But man, what is the
talking to you? First of all, let's identify who you are, Ross. I did a very poor introduction to who you are. Tell everybody who you are, how they can get a hold of you, and we'll continue on with this thing.
Ben Ross Watson, I'm attorney out of my primary office location is in Cameron, Texas. It's right there in Main Street, 105 East Main.
And Rick's office is
Rick Dodd, yeah,
sponsoring
Rick,
the
program. But Rick and I work on a bunch of cases, and he thought this was right up my alley, this kind of these kind of topics. He comes on from time to time, but he knows a lot about the personal injury civil law. I do too, but he's an expert, and I know more on the civil rights criminal sector side. So okay. I'm more of a general practitioner. He more specializes. So
all right, so let's continue on with the license to carry badge. Let me tell you why I do it. If I'm carrying concealed, I don't want anybody to know I have a gun. So
right.
It's foolish and stupid for me to wear openly a concealed carry badge. It defeats the purpose. However, I wear the badge underneath where you can't see it. In case, God forbid, I'm in a shoot and then an officer's coming on the scene, I'm flashing badge because I've done many questions. I have asked many people in law enforcement, sheriffs, judges, officers, deputies, and they all say they will hesitate before they shoot. They will make sure they know who this individual is because they see a badge. So that's one thing. I'm protecting myself. The second thing is if I'm carrying open, I put the badge right next to that gun. And when I'm carrying open, I'm walking in a professional manner. I'm not doing anything weird or crazy because I know I have a major responsibility. And when people see me with their gun and badge, I put them at ease. And then the test was I take the badge off and do it, and people are eyeballing like, is this guy legit or what? So those are the reasons I do it. I feel they're valid, but they've got to be done in a professional manner. So let's take it from there.
Well, I've read the license carry instructor manual, and it talks about scenarios in there. I think it kind of hits the nail on the head when it says, police officer doesn't know who the good guy is in a situation or who the bad guy is. They don't know what's really going on because they have no contextual facts to relate because they haven't been there. All they get is a ditch pass call to get out there. Sometimes the calls are outrageous and exaggerated, and sometimes, right, the calls are underestimated. And so they don't really know what to expect any time that they go out to any location, especially when it's been labeled a crisis area. Okay, and so you got to realize that they're going to be, even though they've got all this training and knowledge, and even probably some of the police officers the most experienced in the world, your average police officer, even with a lot of experience, is going to still be nervous in the situation. And so it's good that you're able to show a license to say, hey, I'm the good guy in the situation.
I think body posture has a lot to do with it, too.
It does. It definitely does. Police officers are trained to read body language. That's a big part of it.
I think they should have a course on that. I mean, I teach classes, is body language is so important because there's three levels of defense. There's the one like you're within arm's reach of me. Then there's one where I can hear what you're saying and see your body language. And then the distance one is where I can't hear anything you're saying, but I can read your body language. And so if an officer comes up to the scene, he says something and I comply and it's immediate, you know, a good individual is well-trained is going to say, okay, all right, this is probably good. Whereas you're going to see some other guys probably wanting to run, get away, and the body language gives it away that, hey, you know, you might be questionable.
Oh, police officers, people understand there's, police officers are just great communicators in general, and they are really, a lot of them, maybe not all of them, but there are a lot of police officers who are good at their job because, not because they know how to use a gun, not because they know a lot about the laws, not because they know, are really good about, you know, following up with facts. They're just really good communicators. I had a friend of mine, and she's, I think, working at Wilco now, and she's just a cute little Hispanic girl, cute little thing, and she's a police officer. And I ask her, you know, aren't you ever worried when you go out to these places by yourself? And, you know, I mean, she's just a little thing. And she's, no, I know how to talk to people. And she does, and so it's crazy, but they know how to read your body language. But still, I still think that the badge, if you are truly in a crisis situation, is going to be able to convey, hey, that you're one of the good guys because, like, there's just very few license holders, statistically speaking. This came before, you can go look up the legislative history on it, and there are statistics that license holders are routinely some of the most law-abiding people right in the state.
Otherwise, they wouldn't get the license.
Right, right. And they do so many background checks, and there's so many things that you have to go through, and you have to know the laws. You can't just, it's not like you can just carry. And so, and that's what the book was saying, too. How are police officers going to write laws? You can't just, it's not like you can just carry. And so, and that's what the book was saying, too. How are police officers going to react in a situation? When you see, I've seen, in my experience, which is only in 5 years, okay, but I've seen older police officers, I think, when they see a license to carry holder, they tend to,
whatever.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, right.
Whereas you see a younger police officer stops you and they think you have a license to carry, well, then they want to see your weapon. They want to start asking you a bunch of questions. And it's,
What is that? Is that the culture or is that bad training?
I think it's just that they don't maybe realize yet that, hey, it's a license to carry holder. This guy's almost certainly going to be doing what he's supposed to do. If you want to check for alcohol stuff, do that. But I mean, if there's nothing there, you're just wasting. And two, I think, you know,
because I'll tell you, Ross, there's, you go on the internet and you read commentary on, like, I got videos on YouTube, Aaron's Gun Shop channel on YouTube, and it just shows how I use my badge and all this kind of stuff. And you'll get commentary that says, oh, this is crazy. And then you get other people say, oh, I understand it. And I see where the other people are coming from, the negative side of it. It's because the person who's carrying it isn't doing it in a professional conscientious manner. They're just being stupid about it.
I had some really, really good friends come down from Coleman County last night, and we stayed up super late talking. His son is actually the DA up in that part of the world, and so we had some good stories. But I was going over the Poe case with them about the guy who was carrying the rifle in the shopping mall, and I was getting mixed emotions from them as well. One saying I didn't really think that they had a right to be arrested. The other one saying that's just stupid. Okay, but if you... So I think if... And you talk about when you're in the gas station, how differently people react. You think from your own perception and your own experience that when you have walked in, I'm taking you, meaning Matt, mm-hmm. right, have talked about on these programs that people seem to feel antsy when you don't have
that's right.
the badge, but they don't really do anything because you're acting
properly, that's right.
properly. But when you do have the badge on, you feel like people just hardly even...
I can skate right through. It's not, hey, how you doing? What department are you with? I said, I'm not an officer. I'm licensed to carry this badge just for your comfort, not mine.
And so if they, some may think you are an officer, but if it does truly calm the situation down or calm people's nerves that are, you know, in the local environment, I mean, is that not a good thing? I think...
Well, let's get down to brass tacks. If somebody says, oh, what department are you there? What's the term? A person sitting in an office? Not, I'm not.
No.
So then, but anybody could basically say it.
I mean... See, anybody could basically say it, but anybody could basically say that in any type of scenario.
Right. So, I mean, you got to weigh it on the scale, and I do. And I weigh on the scale with, I'm very professional about it. I know what I'm doing. I don't wear the badge for anybody else's purpose other than to put the other people at ease. I do it for me, but the benefit of doing it for me allows the person out there on the street to be put more at ease.
There, and this is a good segue to the other thing you wanted to talk about, which was two. Well, I guess it was more really two. The requirement to identify yourself and show your license to carry.
Yeah, yeah. That's
as
good.
Well as the police officer's ability to disarm you. So we've talked about the Fourth Amendment on this show, and I have mentioned with C.J. Grisham when we talked about the open carry at the gun show in Belton that police officers don't have to have any evidence that you're actually committing a crime to stop you. Reasonable suspicion can be, when I say any evidence, that's not correct, but they don't have to see you committing a crime to stop you. Reasonable suspicion is just unusual facts that are related to criminal activity, right, or that could be related to activity based on the officer's experience. And so it could be completely innocent. It could be completely innocent conduct, which is what we talked about. I threw a couple of examples out in there about guys driving around the parking lots. Completely innocent. There's nothing there. And police officers have been upheld in the stops that they make. And so I think that there could be several scenarios where a police say that he had reasonable encounters. A police officer has a right to walk up to you. It's like I have a right to walk to you. Now I can say, hey, what are you doing? And you say, dude, I don't know. You get away from me. I'm not, get away from me. And you don't have to talk to me. You could do the same thing to a police officer. A lot of people don't because they get intimidated. Okay, they feel like they have to talk to a police officer, but they really don't have to. They say, dude, I don't want to talk to you. You know, get off. Get out of here.
So at what point can the officer turn it around and do that?
When he's got reasonable suspicion. So when he's got reasonable suspicion, he can say, right, he can stop you briefly.
Does saying, hey, get away from me, I don't want to talk to you, become reasonable suspicion?
Not in and of itself. He's got to have more than your failure to want to talk to him, right, to justify his reason to stop you. Okay, and it would be even a very small... Right, factor in a...
Okay, I want to make this very clear. I'm not here to put down, challenge any officer right now. What I want to do is I want the license to carry person and the officer... I want right now with our show, I want to be able to tell those people out there with licenses are going to get licensed. What is the actual factuality of if an officer comes up to you, when do you have to present, so on and so forth. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, that's what I was getting... So if he's got reasonable suspicion, okay, and he can walk up to you and stop you, then, and he asks you to display your identification, at that point, you're going to be required to do it. And what I was saying is, anytime that you're openly carrying, I think that there's always a basis for a police officer to make an argument that you were unlawfully carrying a weapon because you were carrying a handgun on property that was not your own premises. And therefore, since that falls under a criminal act, and he sees those facts to relate to that criminal behavior,
and he can't confirm otherwise.
Otherwise, I think that maybe not in every situation, okay, but there are going to be several scenarios where that is going to give rise. He's going to be able to claim reasonable suspicion, and okay. You're going to have to pay a good lawyer a lot of money, right, if you try to fight it, okay, when he comes up to you and he's going to see that weapon. So if you're openly carrying, I think that those officers are going to be able to stop you. But it's like when I walked in here today, the officer was start, because I didn't have a regular tag on. I started to walk, and then I show him this badge right as I'm walking. Okay. And so it's the same kind of scenario. If you have the open to carry, if you have the license to carry badge, now you're probably not going to be screwed with by police officers near as much, because they're going to see that badge and go, oh, okay. He's licensed to carry. He's got a right to do this. Now that I'm put on notice that he's got a license to carry, if I don't have another reason to stop him, I'm just getting involved in his rights.
I know this seems so obvious, but I'm going to ask you anyways. So if you're talking about the badge, and then somebody's wearing the badge, what can they do to screw it up? Explain how they can screw it up with a license to carry badge where it's interpreted as impersonating.
Oh, I think you could be in trouble for. The question never was, could you be in trouble for impersonating a police officer? I think you could, definitely, depending on how you're acting.
That's what I was asking.
You don't even need a badge to be in trouble for impersonating a police officer.
What was that guy? He got arrested in that convenience store. He's claiming to be an officer, and he goes, "Somebody call the police." And I come in here, and it just so happens there's a police officer, true police officer, in line. And he goes, "What department you were in?" And he got caught and arrested. So you can impersonate an officer without even wearing a badge, like you just said.
Yeah, that's like the episode of Friends where Phoebe's picks up that officer's badge, and then this guy's illegally parked, and she's like, "Hey, you're illegally parked. I'm gonna take you downtown." And then he goes, "Oh yeah," and he puts the, you know, the police light on top of the car, and you know, she's in trouble.
I gotta watch that episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see how you could definitely mess it up, and you know how you can mess it up. Don't be stupid. Don't try to come into a situation and try to be the boss or the take control of something that you know you have no right to take control of.
All right, we had a bunch of stuff we were touching here. We had the authority of the peace officer to disarm, which we talked about. The officer responding in a crisis, license, the LTC in a crisis. There's one aspect, though. You don't have to show it if you don't have it on you. If you're a licensed to carry person, the law states if you don't have the weapon on you, you don't have to show the license to carry.
And I have seen a lot of young police officers, when somebody says, "I have a license to carry," then that young police officer will demand them to show the license to carry. You don't have to. Okay. Dude, I haven't had the case yet where the guy hadn't also had his license to carry.
Well, here's Matt's personal commentary on that. If you're a license to carry holder and you don't have the gun on you and you don't show the officer your license to carry license, you're stupid. Okay? It doesn't take but a second to show him your driver's license and your LTC, because here's what's going to happen. If you don't show him that license, he's going to find out that you got an LTC. And once he finds out, he's going to be a little bit disturbed, even though the law says you don't have to show it to him. So my common sense answer would be, if you have a license to carry, but you do not have the weapon on you at the time, and you are asked to show identification, show both and declare that I do not have it on me. I am a license to carry. I do not have the weapon on me. Officer, what would you like me to do? It's common professional courtesy. Both ways. Look, this is how I look at it. You may not agree with me, but you know what? I don't care. Here's the deal. If you're a licensed to carry person, you're a professional. If you're an officer, you got a badge, you're a professional. You treat each other with professional courtesies until such point either one of the parties crosses the line and becomes disrespectful, then all bets are off, okay? Except on when it's the cop, if he's disrespectful, you still got to suck it up. Otherwise, you can get a lot of trouble, you know?
It's like Squirrel. We had a call from a guy named Squirrel. You got a bunch of rights, but you don't have a right to be stupid. And so when you violate, you know, the duty to be reasonable, even though you may not be violating the law, you're probably going to end up paying for it one way or another.
Make it off, but you're going for the ride?
Yeah, that's right. You may beat the rap, but you'll never beat the ride. That's right.
All right, what else can we do here on this? Because we hop, skipped, and jumped here. And I was really into the license to carry in a crisis, because that's what everybody carries the gun for. They carry the gun God forbid if it happens, they're going to be in crisis. So what do? You know, I just want them to know that you're not a police officer. You can't take control. But then we just discussed how, indeed, to some degree, you are taking control until you relinquish that control once the police officer arrives, right?
You're right. And that's why, the badge may help, because if a police officer gets a call that there is a shooting and it's, say, at a park and somebody has opened fire, and now a licensed to carry holder has tried to wait and police officers aren't showing up, and this guy is still going off, and he feels like he's got to take action or somebody else is going to die, and he starts firing back. When the police officers arrive as middle parties, how do they know which one is the shooter? And so you are going to be in a incident where, you know, a scenario, the police officer having to make a choice. If you have the badge, then that makes it a whole lot, at least, maybe, I don't know, it depends on where the police officers are, but it makes it more likely that they're going to be able to see that, because police officers are trained to see details that regular people aren't. So if a regular person say, a police officer ain't not going to see that, they're trained to see a lot more detail than most other people. So I think it makes it more likely that they are going to see that badge. And they, even if it's from a distance, even if they think, oh, this guy's a law enforcement officer,
because that's my whole objective.
It's still going to help you. It's still going to help the license holder.
You know how when the wave crashes on the beach and then it ebbs out and there's that pause before the next wave? That's what I want the badge to be. I want the badge to be, the waves are crashing on the beach and all of a sudden the officer comes, there's this, all right, reevaluate. As compared to coming at a man with a gun. That's what I'm trying to accomplish with the badge, as long as it's trained and taught well. Let me ask you, sidebar another thing here.
But I want to say, but it was a good thing that the LTC holder got involved, because he probably, by shooting back at the shooter, was able to focus the shooter's attention on him instead of other pedestrians. And so this was able to buy more time for the police officers to get there. So it was a good thing that an LTC holder getting involved. We hear stories like this.
And another thing, too, if a person's prepared like that and has got their license to carry and their gun, they most likely got a cell phone. Because after the deed is done, I'm on the phone at 911. Here's the details. I'm holding this individual down. I will not relinquish command until I see an officer on duty. I will stay on the call with you, but I'm not relinquishing command of the situation until somebody gets here. When the officer comes, he sees badge. He takes control. That's how I see it going down, and that's how I want it to go down, because my neck's on the line with a gun in my hand. So,
yeah, right.
Okay, now I got a question, though. Can somebody get you, like, on a retainer or something, say, hey, instead of me going to these legal shields, and how would they say, I want attorney Benton Ross Watson to be on the other end of my speed dial in case something goes down and I need an attorney? Is there any way we can set you up for that? As a look of horror, just because of your face.
Oh, man, I get enough calls as it is, and we're asking crazy questions. No, I'm just playing. Well, that's actually pretty true. It's an everyday event. But I don't really do that. If you got a problem, just call me.
All right.
If you got a problem, just call me, and if you need action taken immediately, and I got...
Because you're passionate, Ross. You're passionate. You know your law. You're passionate. You seem like a guy in the street who can relate to both sides. Yeah, the law's there, but I can understand the street side of the thing. And that's an important bridge for people. You get sometimes this separation where it's us against them, the little guy against the courts. It's just scary, you know? But if you got a guy who's an agent of the court and who's a guy who feels like the people and somebody can relate to you, at least they feel a little bit better giving you the money, you know?
I wish that were the case. But yeah, so.
Okay. All right. Well, look, we're about that time. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, Ross.
My number is 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. Again, my primary office location is in Cameron, Texas. It's 105 East Main Street. Big milk cow painted on the side. Can't miss it. Right across the street from the courthouse.
You know you got a spot of grass on the side of that building. You should get yourself a milk cow. I mean, what the heck with the painting? Go for the real thing.
I don't know, man. I got out of the livestock business a long time ago, and that was the best thing I've ever done.
It's probably a city ordinance.
And then, so my email address is Benton, Benton, at Watson.legal, Benton at Watson.legal. I appreciate you having me on today.
I think the listeners should probably email you or something with a topic of interest to them.
Right, yeah, they could. Definitely.
So, ladies and gentlemen out there, if you've got a topic of interest when it comes to license to carry, you know, self-defense and all that, and you'd like to get a specific answer or guidance somehow, give the email address.
That'd be great, yeah. Benton, B-E-N-T-O-N at Watson, W-A-T-S-O-N dot legal. So it's Benton at Watson dot legal. That sounds like a great idea.
And make it brief. Don't make a long, drawn-out process of it. Just, and then if it's something that he feels that he can go over, he may, I don't know, maybe contact with more details, whatever. But let's see what happens there. And take it, because like I said, I want to hear true stories from you out there. Give me a call when we're back in the studio next week. And if you got a true story of self-defense, I'd love to hear it and what you did to save yourself. But other than that, we're going to, Trey, get prepped. We're going to take a long break in just a second. Ross, it's always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you, man.
We're here at the...
you guys should come out. Looks like I got some cool stuff there.
Yeah, pretty
nice
stuff.
Cannons I'm going to go look at.
We're at the Real Gun Show at the Williamson County Expo Center in Taylor. And if you come in... and you walk through the door, as you go to the right, you'll see us here by the red door. Look for the gentleman in the Texas flag shirt. That'll be Aubrey Sanders, the owner of the show. We'd love to see you. Tell him you heard it on the radio. And lots of stuff. Guns, knives, accessories, all sorts of good stuff. And lots of people coming in here with their personal stuff trading, so you might get a good deal. All right, Trey, let's take a long break. We'll see you on the other side. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's June 3rd, 2017. We're here live at the Williamson County Expo Center in Taylor at the Real Gun Show. And, man, it's rocking. It really is. I got to make a comment. This is going to probably sound really weird. The thing that has stuck out to me most is how clean the freaking sidewalks are outside. I mean, they're almost, like, pristine. I like a place that's clean. It's like when going to a restaurant. I'm not going to go to a restaurant that's got garbage all outside. Because you never know what it's going to be like on the inside. But this place, man, is spotless and it's cool on the inside. Lots of guns, lots of accessories, all sorts of good stuff. Come on out and check it out. Say hi to everybody here at the Williamson County Expo Center at the Real Gun Show. And we're live here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're in our product spotlight. I want to thank Officer Dixon, too, for being the voice. Always great. Lots of comments, positive always. And it's always a pleasure to have him on. Now, we're going to be doing our product spotlight. It's sponsored by A&C Firearms in Heidenhammer. You may not be out here at this gun show, but they've got a gun show over there 6 days a week at A&C's. And Arch Kuntz, the owner, he's an incredible guy, sponsored the program. And his crew, Clint, Dennis, Mike, there's a plethora of information combined with all those guys. Lots of guns over there, ammo, reloading supplies, the works. And we've got a really sexy gun over there. It's the Kel-Tec PMR 30 22 Mag. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you'll see a picture of me holding it. I've got one. It's fantastic. I love it. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about it here. And I went to thetruthaboutguns.com and saw Jeremy S.'s review on it. I'm going to read to you portions of the review. What you need to do is call 254-983-4417. Tell those guys to hold it because they've got one there on the shelf. You're going to love this thing. It's great for bugging out. Now, despite the low MSRP, Kel-Tec PMR 30 remains both elusive and expensive due to production volume that has never come close to keeping up with demand. And that's so true. If you're looking for Kel-Tec, you understand that concept or that problem. And who wouldn't want an extremely lightweight, fun-to-shoot pistol with a 30-round capacity? I mean, who would? Especially ones that shoots an entertaining round like the 22 Magnum and spits fires like a dragon. Now, the PMR 30 makes for an amazing bug-out pistol. And I think this is what first attracted me to the bug out, attracted me to it. It's the bug out bag or a kit bag, wood survival gun, truck gun, or whatever. Now, this author states that he doesn't have his bug out bag yet. Shame on him. You should all have your bug out bags put together, but still likes the idea of it. And the PMR 30 would definitely live in there if he did have one. Now, there probably isn't a lighter full-size pistol on the market, with the PMR tipping the scales at only 13.6 ounces empty. A loaded PMR 30 with a loaded spare magazine at 60 rounds, 60 freaking rounds, tipped the scales at what most full-size polymer pistols weigh totally empty. This pistol is really quite confounding in multiple ways. Now, I want you to understand how this guy is writing this, because I know where he's coming from, and I understand what he's trying to say, but I want to make clear, I'll clarify it once I read it. It feels cheap, but it isn't. And I don't mean inexpensive. I mean it feels like a chintzy toy. The plastic feels thin and makes hollow noises, and the gun is so light that it's almost silly. The frame is two-part clamshell design and has more bolts holding it together than Frankenstein's monster. And he's right, it does. You pick it up, it's like, is this real? Half of the slide is covered in plastic as well, so when you rack it, you never even touch metal. While none of this makes you feel like you're holding something worthy of being taken seriously, or that's likely to last more than a couple of range sessions, the PMR-30 holds up to extended use. Oh, so true. I mean, the gun is incredibly awesome. That's your host speaking right there. The machining and finish of the metal parts, especially including the barrel slide and locking block for the hybrid blowback lock breech pistol action, is very good. Arthur has close to 700 rounds through his PMR-30 without a single mechanical failure. Then there's the trigger. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm a trigger fanatic. Literally a trigger fanatic. If you understand triggers and trigger resets, you'll understand what I mean when you put your finger on this trigger. The trigger, which seems totally out of place in a good way, it's extremely smooth, short, and crisp, and weighs in at a consistent 3 pounds. Why is the trigger so freaking good? I mean, it's a good question to ask. It's totally consistent, and the travel is short with very little pre or over travel at all. So the reset click isn't as important as it is on some guns. Now, ergonomically, the gun is a little odd as well, and it's true, it is. Due to the rimmed cartridge, the magazines are triangular, wider in the back than at the front. So too is the PMR-30's grip. This unusual but fairly comfortable grip may work for some shooters and may not work for others. Now, I talk about this too. Depending on the size of your palm or the length of your fingers, this gun may work for you or may not. And that's the way it goes with any gun. You can have another fantastic gun, but if it doesn't fit you, then it's not one that you want. The 22 mag is a long round, and that makes the grip fairly large front to back. It isn't particularly thick, but if you have small hands, it may feel like you aren't getting a full grab because of the way it's designed. Thin at the front and wide at the back, combined with the front-back length, definitely give the PMR-30 a unique feel in the hand. Now, you know what I've done with mine? I slipped on a Pacmire rubber grip with a finger groove in it. Oh my gosh, does that make up any slack that you may have in your hand? It just finishes it off, finishes off the gun perfectly. Now, he's saying here, this isn't a negative. It's just another little one of those PMR oddities. It's got a Euro-style heel magazine release. And if you don't know what that is, most automatic pistols have the button mag release on the side of the gun. Well, the European ones, when you put the magazine in, there's a catch at the bottom. So you push the catch and the magazine comes out. So that's the European style. I kind of like it on this particular gun because with 30 rounds, I don't want any accidental magazine ejections. And with that European release on there, you've got to really physically go to it to release the magazine. Now, the fiber optic sights front and rear and the provisions for mounting an optic round out what I would consider to be odd an American-made pistol on the low end of the pistol scale. This thing is a blast to shoot, and I found it extremely accurate. Now, he found it accurate. I found it unbelievably accurate. I mean, I'm putting them in the same holes. It's because of the trigger. The sights are good. Certainly very easy to pick up. The trigger is awesome. Blasting through 30-round mags is pretty darn fun, and the low recoil and flip allows you to shoot as fast as you physically can and still keep hits on the target. It's very cool. If PMR-30s were available more, I think a gun can fill a lot of roles, from hunting and survival to really fun plinking to great zombie apocalypse and bug-out bag pistol, especially combined with a rifle of some sort. Now, I'll tell you what, if you could put your hands on a CMR-30, the carbine rifle, the Kel-Tec carbine rifle that takes the same mags as the PMR-30, you've got a great combo package there. You can have the pistol in your bug-out bag, the bug-out bags on your back, the carbines sell. And with 30 rounds in the mag and extra mags, you've got a battle load worth of ammo there. Now, here are the specifications on this firearm. It's 22 Winchester mag, capacity is 30+1, 4.3-inch barrel, overall length is 7.9 inches, the height is 5.8 inches, unloaded it's 13.625 ounces, the frame is Zytel glass-reinforced nylon, slide is 4140 steel, it's got a hybrid blowback locked breech system, fiber optic, orange rear, and green front sights. The trigger pull is 3 pounds. And there was a comment here on this one website. It goes, utility. This is where the PMR-30 really shines. Lightweight, high capacity, decent accuracy. Well, it all depends on the shooter. Decent chambering, blah, blah, blah. Boom, 30 rapid-fire rounds of that. With fireballs, what's not to like, you know? So it's a really good gun. And ANC Firearms has one on the shelf now. It's priced to sell. You need to give them a call at 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it here on the radio. Support the sponsors. Don't go, oh, gosh, that's a great gun. Let me go shop around and see if I can get it somewhere else. You want me on the air. If I'm doing a decent job and you want to keep me there, you need to support the sponsors because they support me. So give ANC Firearms a call, 254-983-4417. Ask for Arch. Ask for Mike, Clint, or Dennis. Tell them you want to put it on hold. Buy it today because it probably will be gone pretty quick. And I'm telling you, you're going to love the heck out of it. And he's also got ammo there for you to get. Ammo's priced right as well. So check them out. It's ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer and the PMR, Kel-Tec PMR 30. Okay, Trey, let's take one more break, and we're going to have a couple people coming on after the break here at the gun show telling them what we've got on their tables. And you need to come on out to the Williamson County Expo Center in Taylor, the real gun show. And we're going to be here for the weekend. The show's live until 12, so we'll see you on the other side. Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. We're here live at the Williamson County Expo Center in Taylor. And the real gun show, we're having a good time. And what we've done now is I've pulled a few people off the table here, a couple people off the table. And I've got with me, right next to me, is David Lee with Southern Cast Bullets. David, can you hear me on the mic?
Yes, I hear you very much. Thank you very, very much.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate being here.
How's the show going for you?
Well, it was slow to begin with, but it's picking up real good now.
When we opened up, there was just like people still wiping the sleep out of their eyes. But now, man, it's just packing it in here.
Yeah, absolutely.
David, tell us what you got on your table, what you're doing, what kind of business do you do so people can come out here and get some of your product.
Well, Southern Cast Bullets is a 20-year-old business that I've been doing cast bullets for. Every kind of shooter you can imagine, the cowboy shooters, anybody that goes to the range and plinks with 38s, 45s, 44s. And recently I've picked up AR parts. And I think right now I've probably got the best price on AR parts in this room.
That's a bold statement. Wow.
Really?
Give us an example of what you got.
Well, I give you a complete upper with bolt carrier group and charging handle for $170 out the door.
With a bolt carrier group?
With bolt carrier group.
Whoa. Break this down now. You got a complete upper. Describe the upper.
All right. I take a stripped upper. I put their parts kit in it, which is, I believe it's close to $30 for the parts kit now. And then I put a bolt carrier group, which is everything that actually fires the weapon.
Right.
The charging handle. Everything good to go. You need to add your barrel and lower to it. And you've got a gun.
And you've got how many of those on the shelf?
I've got six of them here.
And they need to go, right?
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the Williamson County Expo Center at the Real Gun Show, we got David Lee with Southern Cast Bullets, selling more than just bullets. He's got AR parts, uppers. What else you got?
I've got lowers. I've got lowers. I take strip lowers and put the kits in them for you, out the door, $100.
Wow.
Beat that anywhere. They're selling strip lowers here for $66 a piece. So for another $40, you got the start of a good gun.
Now tell us about your bullets. I know you do some special.
I've got the best lead in town. I mean, I hear people every day on the internet talking about how they're making cast bullets, and they're going out and getting anything they can for lead. I have straight out of NASA down in Florida. This is 92% lead, 6% antimony, 2% tin. Plus, I throw probably 4 or 5% linotype in it. These things are hard as a brick. They're not going to lead your barrel up. I guarantee it. You don't like them, bring them back. I'll give you your money back. 100% guarantee on my cast bullets.
You told me this before. How do you put such a guarantee on that?
I've been using the stuff for 20 years.
I know, but you said they did tests on them or something.
Yeah, I can run them up to 1,400 feet per second without letting a barrel.
Oh.
That's fast. Most handguns won't travel 1,400 feet per second.
So what calibers do you have?
I have everything. Well, I used to have 25 ACP. Let's go 380 all the way up through 500 Smith & Wesson Magnum. Every handgun in between. If I don't have it and you really want it, I'll get the mold. I'll start making it for you.
All right, let's talk about your website.
That's a mess.
Well, how can they make contact with you?
They can get in touch with me at castbullet@gmail.com. come to any of the gun shows, local, the Belton shows, I'm always around. I'm local in Rogers, Texas.
If for some reason somebody couldn't make it out here today and they wanted to talk to you and see what you had here at the show, is there any way they can make contact with you? Like, are you willing to give your cell number out, or is that a bad thing to do?
I've got another phone number.
Because I'm thinking, you know, if they're trying to check for something and you got it, they can give you a call.
Right. So the app number.
And it'll forward to your phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
254-598-5370.
Say it again.
254-598-5370.
Okay, and the website one more time?
It is southerncastbullets.com. That's my website, okay. Which is, it's a mess right now. You have to excuse it. But my email is, and you got to remember, it's southerncastbullet, no S.
No S.
@gmail.com.
Okay.
And call me through my phone.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you got a question or you want to see if he's got something, and this way you can come right to his table, pick it up, he'll put it to the side, I'm sure. It'll get you squared away. So it's the Williamson County Expo Center here in Taylor, Real Gun Show. David Lee with SouthernCastBullet.com. He's got AR parts, kits, uppers, lowers, and a whole bunch more. So check him out. Okay. We're going to take about a 2-minute break. And when we come back, we're going to have somebody else on from the gun show. And we're going to have John Ferguson from Blackjack Firearms. He's always got a bunch of stuff. New things. He's got actually one in particular. I got a couple minutes. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. We're here at the Williamson County Expo Center at the Real Gun Show. Today is June 3rd, 2017, and we're finishing up the show. We've got about another 15 minutes or so. And I'm looking out amongst the tables. I'm on the far side of the auditorium, and there's nothing but people, guns, knives, accessories, trading going on. It's nice. And the concrete is super clean. Okay, the bathrooms look good, too. So, anyway, a good friend of mine, John Ferguson, co-owner of Blackjack Firearms in Cameron. Long history, and we do a lot of stuff with guns and others. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt.
It's good to see you again.
Good to be back on it.
I was looking at your table. You were busy. I had to yank you away. Ladies and gentlemen, I had to yank him away so he could talk to you because he's got a lot of good stuff going on. So, John, talk to us about what's going on at the show. What do you got at the table? I know you got a couple of interesting things over there I want you to expand upon.
Yeah, well, one of the things I've got, you're probably talking about, is I've got a Israeli M1919 parts kit.
Woohoo!
So in 308.
Explain what that is.
All right, so it's a basically it's a machine gun designed by John Browning back in 1919. It's belt fed. Thing weighs about 26 pounds when
it's
folded.
Carry that all day long.
But yeah, it's I've got the parts kit for it. You go online, you find these things. Most of people are asking $1,400. I'll sell it today, $725 out the
door.
Now,
clarify though, it does need some work.
It's gonna need some work. It's got some rust on it. I mean, it's an old, you know, it's Israeli military surplus. I think it was probably used in some of the war somewhere. I mean,
but
we gave,
if you want for the price that you got it,
right?
I mean, I know those things are expensive.
Yeah, the thing is you go online, you find the parts kits. Like I said, they're about $1,400-$1,500. You find a complete rifle built up as a semi-auto. They're selling for about $2,300-$2,500 right now.
That's right.
So, I mean, you're gonna get a heck of a deal. This one's barreled in 308 instead of 30-06.
So can you picture that in the back of your pickup truck, hunt
oh, yeah.
Hogs?
You know, I actually thought about that. When I
know
got
some
the
of you did that, man.
I mean, I thought about that, getting one of the A6 tripod kits. So you got the little butt stock and all that, and putting a little Picatinny rail on top of it, and with a night scope and hunting hogs with it. I was like, this thing would be great.
There you go, huge spotlight. I got you, man. You're mine. Whatever. Okay, now on the I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people listening to the show who are very savvy when it comes to fixing up guns. So they're saying, you got what? And it's how much? And I know how to take care of rust. I know how to put it together. I can do whatever I want with this thing and make it a beautiful thing. So first of all, how can they get in touch with you on that before we go any further?
Well, they can come here this weekend.
That's right.
Or they can contact me at blackjackfirearms@gmail.com.
Well, is there a way they can contact you at the show right now? Like, because I know that's a hot little thing that we're just talking
right
about.
They can call me at, my phone number is 254-718-0737.
A little slower, one more time.
254 718-0737.
Okay. And that we're giving that out because this is one of those things that if you hear it on the radio, you go, oh, gosh, I want one of those. For that price, how much is the price?
$725 out the door.
There you go. So you're like, I can do a lot with this stuff. So give them a call if that piques your interest. And then set up a link time here and come on out to the Williamson County Expo Center here in Taylor, the Real Gun Show. Check it out. It's real nice. What else you got on that table?
Okay. Well, I got several lowers. I've got Sentry Arms AR lowers, and I've got About Time Machine AR lowers. The Sentry Arm I'm selling for $34.97 plus tax. These are, for lack of a better word, they're factory seconds. The hole for the bolt catch. Sentry, for whatever reason, when they had these things built, they made their hole a little bit bigger than everybody else.
So how do you fix that?
Well, it's real simple. The thing I've seen a lot of people do is they will put in the normal pin, and it'll just push right in. I mean, you're not even going to have to tap that thing in. They'll push it in, they'll take a center punch on either side of the bolt catch, and they'll give it a tap.
And so if they get one of those, they're saving how much because of that little defect?
They're saving $10 off my ATMs. The About Time Machine ones, which are all spec, those are, I'm selling for $44.97, or, you know, heck, there was some guy here I saw selling Andersons for $70.
So. let's go back to what you used to do. You used to manufacture weapons.
Correct.
So that's why you're so knowledgeable about these aspects of it's no big deal if it's got a little defect
right.
in it because you can correct it.
Yes.
You used to build ARs, you used to build AKs,
mm-hmm.
okay, but now you're just basically... selling firearms, selling parts, and all that kind of stuff. So you have
Correct.
A wide range of accessories to go with all these?
Yes, I've got almost every part you need to assemble an AR. I've got Magpul accessories. I got the P-Mags. My Gen 2 30-round P-Mags are $10.97, which, yeah, is a really good price.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
You know, and I mean, this is the magazine the Marines are now sending over to combat. You know, it's and so...
They'll be going all over the planet. It's never going to stop. That's politics. I don't want to go there. But you got some really good stuff over there. And you've got lots of people. I yanked you away from the table, but they're patiently waiting for your return. So what else can you tell us? What's
I've also got some used firearms I've taken in on trades and stuff. I've got a Remington 770 and 270. I've got a Remington Model 11 12 gauge.
Oh, those are nice.
I've got
it. You know what's the first thing I do with a Remington 11 if it's not worth more in its current condition?
Chop that barrel
off, man. Get that sucker Parkerized.
Oh, yeah.
And man, is that an awesome shotgun.
So, and then I've also got a Browning Auto 5. This is one of the American-made. So this was actually built back during World War II.
I wouldn't mess with that one.
And so, yeah, so it's not the Belgium and it's not Japanese. This is actually built in America, one of the few that they actually had built in the U.S.
What's your prices on these guns?
That one is $7. The Model 11 is $3.25, and the 770 is $2.25.
I'll tell you, I've done this to two Model 11s, and they just come out absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
So if you want to have that beautiful Browning in its pristine condition, but you want to play, get a Remington Model 11.
Right.
It's the same freaking gun. It just doesn't have the value because it's got a different name on it.
Right. It's Remington built in the U.S. instead of...
Instead
of Browning built in it in Belgium.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Tell everybody one more time how they can get a hold of you.
All right, you can get a hold of me. The easiest way to get a hold of me is by email, and it's blackjackfirearms@gmail.com, all one word. And then if you want to call about the parts kit this weekend, you can call 254-718-0737.
Now, people are coming in and out all the time, so once again, because that's a pretty cool, and you're not going to see that very often right here, so tell us about that one more time.
That is it's a Browning 1919 parts kit. It's all the parts to build up an Israeli... 1919 and 308. So you can have a belt fed.
Do you happen to have the belt or anything?
I don't have any links anymore. All the little accessories and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm ignorant on this. Is this a cloth belt or is this a metal link belt?
Disintegrating link. It was the first disintegrating link machine gun that was built.
Really? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
That's a sexy gun, I tell you. It's a very sexy gun. Check it out. So all you gun-savvy people out there know how to fix things up. This is a great catch because it's only, what, $7-something?
$7.25.
Good deal because they normally go full price, about $2,300.
Yeah.
All right, John. It's good talking to you. Get back to your customers. A lot of them sitting on the table there. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here at the Williamson County Expo Center. We're about to finish up the show in just a couple minutes here. And I had a WTF moment I wanted to read here. This is kind of crazy. John was just talking about Remington Model 11s and Browning shotguns. Well, this one here, gun eviction. Belton man allegedly threatens homeowner twice with a weapon. Let me read it to you. It's a little difficult to evict someone from a home they own, but Randy Lynn Tomasek of Belton allegedly tried to do that March 27th. Tomasek was indicted Wednesday by the Bell County blah, 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 blah. An arrest affidavit said that Tomasek twice put a double-barrel shotgun up to the man's face, threatening the homeowner and saying he had 1 hour to move before he was going to kill him. The victim said he had never seen this guy before. His criminal record shows he was arrested twice by the Temple police. He was convicted of two misdemeanors and one for criminal attempt. Listen, you point a shotgun at me, and we got problems. I just thought this was kind of crazy. A guy who owns his home is faced with a shotgun from somebody he doesn't know being told to evict. It's just crazy. It's a crazy world out there. So be prepared for the unexpected, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, we've got a lot going on in the month of June. I'm going to go over it again. Next Friday, June 9th, is our next round robin competition. You need to go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, and you'll see a picture of the prize. It's going to be the Mossberg Maverick 88 pistol grip shotgun 12 gauge, and it's pretty. It's a real nice pretty gun there. And what's nice about that is you're going to pay me $10 anyway to go shoot. You might as well spend $20 and compete. You get to shoot all night for free. You get to compete. You get some good training. And if you win, you get yourself a nice little shotgun there. June 10th is our license to carry class. For new people, it's $60. For those who want to refresh their skills, it's $40. And we have a special going. If you come in groups of five or more, it'll be $30 a piece. Remember, if it's a group of five and you show up, it's $60 a person. Also, exciting news. Soon, a couple weeks probably, we'll be on 98.5 FM KXRT as well. That's coming out of Rockdale. And we'll be starting with a one-hour program starting at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Then I race out to Cameron and do the two-hour show on KMIL, 105.1 The Ranch that you're listening to right now. And we're expanding. But ladies and gentlemen, if you know people, spread the word. Help me out. Help the show out. If you know people who think that they would fit in this type of program and would like to sponsor the program by becoming part of the program, have them contact me. We'd love to have them on there. More information, more product, more services out there to the public to get to know them. They also keep the show on the air. You get to hear some great information, and the circle continues. So hopefully we can get up to a two-hour show when it comes to KXRT. So ladies and gentlemen, one last time. We're here at the Williamson County Expo Center live at the Real Gun Show. Come on out. There's a lot of people here. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of trading. You might find yourself to pull those guns and got dust collecting on them in the safe. Bring them out here. You might be able to trade something or trade up, get something that you really want by giving up two or three or whatever it takes to get a higher grade type of weapon. Williamson County Expo Center. Okay, now, Trey, get ready. We're going to probably take a long break out. I'm going to close it up here and just say, it's always a pleasure to get on the air to share some news and information. Please get your stories ready of true life scenarios that have happened in your life to protect yourself, your family, or your property. We'd love to hear it. Maybe you can give us a call next week and we'll talk about it. As always, we've got The Voice coming on at 11 o'clock on the show. We've got attorney Benton Ross Watson and Rick Dodd. They come on, excellent segments. Product spotlights the work. So check it out. Go to my website, aaronsgunshop.com. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Check out the become a subscriber to the YouTube channel at Aaron's Gun Shop and like us on Facebook. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page and like us on Facebook. So until next week, God bless and keep your powder dry.